something else that's true. You do in life what you want to do. Isn't that true? And so I want to encourage you to take time during the week. The thing I love about a workbook is it gives you something in your hand to get in the Word with. And it just helps you stay on track. And so I hope you'll take this book and enjoy it and just let it minister to you. We're just kind of going over basic things in Sunday school as we get back in the routine of coming. And I'm just so happy that we're back together again. So let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the blessing and the beauty of the day. We thank you for just the privilege it is to be able to gather here this morning. And we ask you now, Father, to take this time, and I pray that it will be time well spent, and I pray that you will minister to the hearts of the ladies this morning. Bless us as we study your word together, and oh, how we love your word. We just say that with the psalmist. He said that, oh, how I love your word. And this morning, would you just deepen our affection for this treasure that we possess, your very word. And Father, it is our greatest treasure. Help us to esteem it. Help us to adore it. Help us to give it priority in our lives, because it is powerful. It is alive. It has the ability to get in our hearts and bring change. And so, Father, just impress upon us this morning as we study together that we are to be women of your word. And I pray that for this Sunday school class, that we'll take this calling very, very seriously. So now speak to us this morning as we study. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, what I want to do this morning... Our lesson this week was sort of a practical lesson, sort of a how-to lesson, how to actually study God's Word for yourself. And what I really want to do this morning is give you some benefits of that, and then I want to just kind of weave into that a little bit of my own personal testimony. And so get out your handout, and we're going to be looking there at some verses out of Psalms this morning. What's my story? And I'm thinking, well, how would you take your story and put it into a bottom line story? Well, my story is basically I was a beggar, and then I came and I discovered gold, and I became rich. Now, let me explain that. Go to verse 10. I'm going to jump down to the last verse out of Psalm 19. And let me show you what I mean. It says there that the word of God is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Have you ever thought about the word of God being, you know, gold is the most precious metal. And God's word is like the most precious thing. It actually is your most valuable possession. You may not realize that. But the fact that you hold the very words of God, and you probably have several copies of God's word in your home, that is like just big blocks of gold all over your house. Now, I've been walking with the Lord now for over 40 years. And my story is one of how I've come to know God. I really have come to know him. Well, Teresa, how do you get to know God? Well, you get to know God through his word. The word of God is, your Bible is God speaking to you. I didn't hear some voice, and I didn't mystically receive revelation from God. I just got in the word of God. And so this morning, I want to begin by focusing on three little verses out of the book of Psalm 19. And let's just read it together first. Three little verses. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. Now, in those three verses, six titles are given for Scripture, and I want you to circle them. Go to verse 7 and you'll find two of them. I want you to circle there. The Bible is called the law of the Lord, so circle that phrase. And then again in that very same verse, the Bible is called the testimony of the Lord, so circle that. Now let's move to verse 8. And we see God's word is called in verse 8, two titles. First of all, the precepts of the Lord, so write that, circle that. And then the commandment of the Lord, circle that. And then two more titles in verse 9. We've got the fear of the Lord and the judgments of the Lord. Now, in those three verses, we are seeing six characteristics of Scripture. And now let's go back and let's underline the characteristics. Okay, go to verse 7. It says the law is perfect. So underline perfect. It says there the law of the Lord is sure. Underline that. And then in verse 8, we see two more. They are right. Underline that. And they are pure. Verse 9, two more. They are clean and they are true. And then here comes my favorite part. There are six benefits of God's word. Now I want you to draw a box around these, okay? So let's go to verse 7 and see the first two benefits. It restores the soul. So put a box around that. That's a benefit of God's word. And then another one, it makes wise the simple. Verse 8, two more, they rejoice the heart and they enlighten the eyes. So put boxes around those two phrases. And verse 9 says they endure forever. And then it says they are righteous altogether. God is saying so much to us about his word in these three little verses. Now there's one more thing I want you to do. I want you to go back and I want you to put parentheses around the phrase of the Lord. Go to verse 7. You see, it's the testimony of who? Of the Lord. It's the precepts. The precepts of who, Teresa? Well, the precepts of the Lord. Go to the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. And verse 8 is the precepts and the commandment. And verse 9 is the fear of the Lord and the judgments of the Lord. And so what you're looking at in these three verses, it's God's very own testimony of what he says and of what he thinks about the Bible. Now it says of the Lord. Look at that word Lord. That is the word of Yahweh in Hebrew. And that is the name of God that means he's the all-powerful Creator God. So I'm just telling you this morning that the all-powerful Creator God is the one who is telling us in his word these things. He's the one who is speaking to us this morning. Now here's what he's saying. My word, the Bible, is adequate. It is sufficient to do these six things. To restore your soul, to make you wise, to rejoice your heart, to enlighten your eyes. They will endure forever, and it produces a comprehensive righteousness. Now, that is why I love God's word this morning. Now, let's look at that first verse there, verse 7. Go back to verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Now this is a powerful book. What does it have the power to do? It has the power to restore your soul. Wow. I don't know of any other book that claims to be able to restore you. What does that word restore mean? Let's write it down. I'm going to give you some definition to the word restore. That means that it has the power to revive. So put that in the blank. It has the power to revive. And then next, to bring life. That's amazing. That book can give you life. And then another word, it can mean to refresh. When you get in God's Word, it just restores your soul. It refreshes you. Have you experienced that? And then another word, to convert. To convert. And what this means is that God's Word has the power to totally change you and to totally transform you. And I'm talking about your inner person, your spirit. And this happened to me. I just have shared with you many times, and I want to share it with you again. Before I was born again, I was a total mess of a person. I was from a very dysfunctional family. My father was an alcoholic and a dropout parent. My parents divorced. I had a lot of deficiencies emotionally. I had real hurts, and I had real needs. And luckily, I was in a very good friend group as a teenager, and that helped me stay out of trouble. But I could have been in trouble easily, because I was a mess. And then I met Bill, and I was in high school. He was in college. He was an older man, and he was so cute, and we were so in love. And we dated, and we married, and I was so young. I had just turned 19 when we got married, and he was a very mature 23. And we were so inexperienced in life, and I really did think that we were just going to get married and ride off into the sunset together and live happily ever after. I just kind of thought that way, and I was so hoping that marriage would be the answer to meet all of my many needs. And I just thought Bill would make me happy. And I had such high hopes for us in the beginning, and I was totally unprepared for marriage, totally unprepared. And I was unprepared. It was my first step out into the real world of being a responsible adult. And that first year of marriage was very hard. In fact, marriage was a big disappointment for me. It couldn't fix me. So I set out to fix myself. I said, I know what I need to do. I should have never quit college, so I just went right back to college, and I started getting my degree, and I also found this part-time job that I thought, oh, I just need a job. That'll make me happy. And the truth was, I was very needy in every area of my life. And so Bill and I had moved to a small town in Mississippi, and what do people do in small town Mississippi in 1972? They go to church, because small towns, the whole social life of small towns, especially in 1972, revolved around the churches. And so during those days, it was, if you were a newcomer to town, every church would come visit you. And so I remember Miss Beryl Harper coming to visit me, and she was a retired school teacher. She had never had children, and she was so precious. And I joined her ladies' Sunday school class. And week after week, as I sat in her class, she taught God's Word. And that Word began to have a very powerful effect on me. And that was a very gospel-centered, Bible-teaching church. And as I sat in her Sunday school class, and as I sat under the preaching in that church, guess what happened to me? My soul, my spirit was restored, revived, refreshed, given life. My inner person was transformed. In other words, I was born again. And the crazy thing about it all was this, because I was raised in the South, I'd always just assumed that I was already a Christian. I mean, I believed in God, I believed in Jesus, the facts of the Bible. I knew all the basic parts of the gospel just because I lived in the South. And I was so totally very familiar with all the Christian terms, but it was right there in 1972, sitting in Prentice Baptist Church as a very needy young bride who was already at the end of her rope, trying desperately to make meaning out of life. It was there and then that I came face to face with the good news that not only did Jesus die for the whole world, but he died for me. And I'll never forget that night as I moved over and I invited the Lord Jesus Christ to sit in the driver's seat of my life. I just gave him the whole mess of my life. It was so personal to me that night. And the coolest thing about it is this. Jesus doesn't require us to get our act together first. He just says, if you're thirsty, come. If you are thirsty, come. And I was so thirsty. And I just came and I just gave him the whole mess. Now go back to verse 7 and let's look at the second benefit. You see, it has the power to revive you, to save you. It is a powerful book. Now that was a great little church I was in. But you know what saved me in that little church? It was God's word. You've got to put God's word on a pedestal. It is the thing that is anointed. It is the thing that is powerful. Let's look at the second benefit. It says the word of God is sure, making wise the simple. This is so interesting. In the Hebrew language, that word simple means an open door. So write that on your handout. Now, I want you to think about an open door with me, because if you've got an open door, it doesn't discriminate. I mean, if the door is open, anything can come in. And it would be very dangerous for us to leave our doors open in our homes, wouldn't it? The word simple, let's look at that word. It can mean naive or uninformed. Now, here's what God is saying. Here, this is his testimony to us this morning. He says, my word has the power to take a simple person and make them wise. I needed a lot of skill and wisdom in life. I mean, early on, I was really floundering. Let's write this on our handout. To be wise means, I love this definition, to master the art of living well. Master the art of living. That's what it means to be wise. It also means this, living life to its fullest and best. Now, isn't that what you want in life? Doesn't that sound good this morning? Now, don't miss this. God is saying to us, this book can take the naive person, the inexperienced person, the uninformed person, and put them on the right path in life. This book gives us the ability to make wise choices in every aspect of our lives. I was such a baby spiritually when I first began my spiritual journey, right after I got restored. I didn't have the benefit that many of you have of being raised in a godly home with a big, wonderful, godly foundation. The Christian life was new territory for me. I mean, I knew the basic Bible stories, but I didn't even know the books of the Bible. I was totally unfamiliar with the Bible. I began to notice how other people could take their Bibles and they could share amazing truths and scriptures and promises, and they could just turn the pages and show me scriptures. And I just thought, I want to be able to do that. And I noticed that I was just craving, after I got born again, I got hungry to know God and to know his word. I just couldn't get enough of it. And I started sucking the bottle of the milk of the word of God. And I began to grow. I had no skill, no model in my life early on to follow. I didn't know how to be a godly wife. I didn't know what a strong biblical marriage looked like. I was just hoping for the best. And so in my life, the very first significant area that God began to deal with me was my marriage. And by the way, let me say this. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves right in, and he's such a gentleman. He sets up housekeeping, and he brings his beautiful fruit with him: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of that is yours at salvation because he comes in. But he doesn't overwhelm us. He's very gentle. And so he moved right in. He set up housekeeping, and he started dealing in my life. And the first area was in my marriage. And so, as God's providence would have it, during that time, I was invited to go to a Bible study called The Philosophy of Christian Womanhood. And this little group of ladies sat in a circle around a cassette tape player, and we heard these ladies teach how to have a godly marriage and be a godly wife. I was so into that. I couldn't believe the Bible had all of that to say about being a godly woman. And I told God, God, make me into this woman. I don't want to forget what I'm hearing. And I would just write it down and listen to it again and re-listen. I counsel young women all the time. And I look around this generation. Marriage is particularly hard in your generation, isn't it? It's tough. And I just tell them, don't throw the towel in on your marriage. Trust God. Obey God. Wait on God. Pray. Just wait and let God give you a dynamic testimony in your marriage. That's what God did in our marriage. And then we started our family, and we had 5 children in 7 years. And I don't recommend that. And, you know, I had never been a mother, and I had not had a godly mother model to me. And I just needed wisdom to be a mother. And I love my children so dearly, and I wanted more than anything for them to follow God. And so I ran to the Word of God. Because remember, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's sure. It's certain. I'm just telling you, you can take God's word to the bank. And the claim God makes is that it will make wise the simple. So I stayed in the Word of God, and I gave it my attention. I got up early, I prayed, I asked God to help me in motherhood, and guess what? He did. I could tell you story after story about how God came through for me and led me and gave me wisdom. But here's what I want you to get this morning. As I brought my life to God's word, I realized I was mining for gold, and God was giving me wisdom. And somehow, as I went to his word, day after day after day, I became skilled in the art of living. And God guided Bill and I through the years of their childhoods. He helped us navigate many difficult seasons, and you've had difficult seasons. There was a season when one of our children was diagnosed with a very serious, rare type of cancer when she was 8. And we went through a long 2-year trial with her. We were in the hospital a lot, and God brought us through that trial. And listen, he even gave us joy in the journey. That's what he'll do. One of our other children was particularly strong-willed, extremely strong-willed. And I remember laying awake at night thinking, how is this child, how's it going to turn out? And all I could see was visions of the penitentiary. You think I'm lying? I'm joking. I'm not joking. He was so strong-willed. And then Bill took some very unexpected career changes in his career, and that was a little shaky feeling. We had just moved his mother and dad to live near us in Brookhaven, and all of a sudden that happened. We walked through his dad being diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So many trials that I could share that we've walked through because I'm old now. But I want to say this to you this morning, and this is my testimony this morning. God's word is totally sufficient for every need. And as we ran to God's word, as we learned and held on to the beautiful promises and truths and precepts that are given to God's children in that book as we trusted them, as we believed them, we have not been disappointed. I can remember as a young mom on a very tight budget because I was a stay-at-home mom. Obviously, if you have 5 children in 7 years, you're a stay-at-home mom. You can't even afford daycare. Well, I used cloth diapers. Can you imagine? Not totally, but I mean, when the budget got tight, I'd go to the cloth diapers. And I was studying the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and Jesus was telling the multitudes there, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about the details of life. Don't worry about the needs of life. And he brings it all to a conclusion in Matthew 6:33, and he says that if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, listen, everything else will be added unto you. I remember sitting there that morning, and I just thought to myself, with my Bible there in my hands, I thought, could this be true? That God's going to meet every need. Everything will be added to us. And it was just like that day, I thought, God, I'm just going to take you at your word. I'm going to quit worrying about the budget. I'm going to just let you, I'm just going to focus on seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And that verse has become probably my life verse. I've learned to run to the Word of God. Either His Word is true or it's not. When you go to God's Word, that's where you encounter the living God. He's alive. His Word is alive. It's a gold mine. I learned all of His beautiful names. I remember teaching a Bible study one time on the names of God. And oh my goodness, that Bible study changed my life forever. Because the name of the Lord, Proverbs says, is a strong tower. And the righteous person can run to that tower and be safe. And I thought, God, could that be true? And I started learning His names. And then in life, when I was in circumstances, I would run to that strong tower. For example, His name is Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. And so when you're in tight times, you say, God, I'm just going to run to you. You're a strong tower. And I'm going to call upon your name. Your name is Jehovah Jireh. And you are my provider. Times when I need peace, Jehovah Shalom. Times when Satan comes and tries to make me feel awful about myself, Jehovah Tsidkenu. I am your righteousness. Times when your little 8-year-old girl has cancer, Jehovah Rapha, you're our healer. Times when you need direction in life, Jehovah Rohi, you're my shepherd and you will lead me. God, I don't like myself, but your name is Elohim. You're the creator and you have created me just the way I am. And you don't make any junk. And you love me. And I'm special in your eyes. But there's one particular name that really meant a lot to me. And it's a real obscure name for God. And it's the name Elroy. Have you ever heard of that name? And that is the name, the God who sees. And it's a name that He gave to Sarah's servant, Hagar. And you see, Sarah was barren. And God had promised to make them a great nation. Didn't happen. Years went by, years went by, years went by. She went through menopause, no baby. And she says, I know what God wants to do. You know, girls are really good at figuring out how God wants to do things. And so she said, I have an idea. I'll just give my maid Hagar to my husband. And this was done back then. And I'll let him sleep with her, and then her baby will be my baby. That's how God wants to do it. Well, she, thank you. The whole Middle East crisis, we can thank Sarah. Because she had Ishmael, and Ishmael was described as a wild donkey of a man. I thought I had a strong-willed child. Whew, you should meet Ishmael. And so you know the story. She did get pregnant. She had a miracle baby. And then as soon as she had her miracle baby, she hated Ishmael and she hated Hagar. And she banished them. And there was Hagar, banished, sent away, had been abused. And there she was all alone and she was ready to die. And God came to her in her extremity. And he said to her, Hagar, my name is El Roy. I am the God who sees. You see, there were a lot of deficiencies in my life as I was growing up. I had a lot of hurts, and I had a whole host of things in my life that I needed to forgive. Where was God during those years of hurt? You see, his name is El Roy. He sees. He sees us. He sees the abuse. He sees your deficiencies. He sees the hurts. He knows everything that pertains to you. And the cool thing is, he never wastes anything in our lives, because he'll take the worst things that happened in your life, and then he'll save you, and he'll turn that bad thing into a platform for ministry. Because he works everything together for our good. Now go back to verse 6. Let's don't miss this other benefit. It says his precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. Now here's the deal this morning. As you're transformed and as you begin to walk in God's ways, you're going to experience full joy no matter what your circumstances. Now look at that definition. I just absolutely love this. What is joy, Teresa? Well, it's a deep down, settled, confident, peaceful satisfaction that the goodness of God is unfolding in your life in the good and in the bad circumstances of life. This joy is deep. Here's a nugget of gold that I've mined out of God's Word. As we walk according to the truth, the result is you're going to have joy. But my circumstances are bad. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. And if happenings are good in your life, then you're happy. Joy is different. No matter what the happenings, it's yours. It's different. I'm so full of joy. God has been so gracious to me. God has been so gracious to Bill and I. He saved us. He transformed our marriage. He gave us wisdom and skill in raising our children. He freed us from fear and anxiety as we learned to seek him first and his righteousness. He has in turn met all of our needs, and our home is a joyful home. And what makes all of this so, Teresa? It's the presence of Jesus. It's being people of his word. Look at verse 8. It also says that the word of God enlightens the eyes. Now, I'm not a very smart person. I'm just your average Joe. But can I tell you, I understand where the world came from. I understand where the world is going. I understand all about life and death, life after death. I know about hell. I know about heaven. I know what morality is. I know what immorality is. I totally understand why the world acts like they do. I have the very mind of Christ available to me in the Word of God. And it brings light to absolutely everything. I don't have to go to science to explain the origins of life. Look back at verse 9. It says there that fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now that's an interesting thing to call the word of God the fear of the Lord. Let's talk about that word fear for a minute. It's an odd title. So write this down. That word means reverence, wonder, respect, and here's the word I want you to hear, worship. Reverence, wonder, respect, worship. Now this is what this is telling us, that this Bible instructs us how to fear our God, or another way to say it, how to worship God. So I've been studying and teaching the Word of God now for almost, I don't know, 40 years maybe, a long time. And that means I spend a lot of my time preparing lessons like this to teach. See, I have to write down every word because I'm old and I forget. And I don't want to waste your time. And so often, as I'm just sitting there in my room and I'm studying God's Word and I just get immersed in the Word of God, I just get so overwhelmed by the Word of God. I just kind of worship God. I'm studying it. And I'll just say, God, this is so good. Thank you. I'm so glad I'm teaching this so I can learn this. I feel as if I'm going to pop sometimes because God's Word is so delicious. And as I'm digging deeply into its truth, it just causes me to break out and worship Him and adore Him for what He's done for me. And then it says this book endures forever. You know what? I come to the Word of God. It's as fresh today as it was the day it was written. It is not a dead book. It is not an old book. It is ever alive. It will never need updating. It will never need editing, refining. It's relevant. It's powerful. It needs no correction, no additions, without error, stain, corruption. It's sufficient to cleanse us, to purify us, and that's true for any person, in any culture, in any generation, in any location. It is altogether sufficient. Now, I've been a Christian now for over 40 years. Not one time can I ever remember a time when the Bible led me in the wrong direction. Its paths lead to life. It has set me free. It's taught me how to forgive. It's taught me about having a forbearing spirit. And even though I have many deficiencies in my past, I don't have to limp around being half of a person. It made me whole. It restored me. And so here's my testimony this morning. I was broken. I was desperate. I was needy. I was without resources. I was without hope in the world. I was headed down the wrong road on the path to destruction. And then Jesus came, and He made all the difference. Now, I'm old now, and I'm so glad as a young bride that I came to Christ. It's proved to be my greatest joy. Many of you remember Miss Willie King, who lived in Brookhaven, and she's gone to be with the Lord now, but she was a women's Bible teacher in our church when I first moved here, and she knew the Word of God. And so one day someone came up to her and said, "Miss Willie, I wish I knew the Word of God like you do." And she said, "Sonny, I didn't learn it by wishing." And I've never forgotten that. And you won't either. You're going to have to get serious. And I'm hoping my testimony has stirred you up to say, "Oh, I've got to get to the Word of God. I've got to make a place for it." But Teresa, I'm not a studier. It doesn't matter. Do you want those benefits in your life? You're going to have to carve out time for God's Word in your life. And so let's just write down in closing a few things on your handout, just some practical things. And this is just a little tiny sampling of things I could say. I could teach for weeks on this. But why is it so important for us to do this, Teresa? Well, let's just jot down a few things. Number one, in order to grow. Because look at 1 Peter 2:2. You're to be like a newborn baby, desiring the milk of the Word so that you can grow. You see, God's Word is our food. Number two, it's necessary to study the Bible in order to defeat sin in your life. You say, "I'm just so defeated." Well, get in God's Word. Because Ephesians 6 tells us, it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's your only offensive weapon to fight. You know, the Christian life's a warfare. You get saved, that's just the very starting point of your Christian life. And then you've got to grow and you've got to learn to fight. And the Word of God is your sword. Look at Psalm 119:11. "Thy word," the psalmist said, "have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then I love verse 9, same chapter. How can a young person, we need to teach this to our teenagers, cleanse his ways? Well, it's so simple. Just take heed according to thy word. You know what? The way to clean up your life is to learn the word of God and obey it. Here's number 3. It's necessary to know scripture in order to prepare yourself for service. You see, as you learn God's word, it becomes your information so that when you're walking in the world in any given situation, you will know the principles needed to serve in that situation. You'll know how to operate in the world in a way that pleases God. There was a young man in the Bible named Joshua, and God was calling him to do a tremendous work. And look what God said to him on your handout. God said this in Joshua, I think it's chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, notice, day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Teresa, I want my life to have success. I don't want my life to be a shipwreck. Well, just do here what God said to Joshua. If you'll just get in God's word, and if you will make it your meditation, how often? Day and night. And if you'll be careful to walk it, everything you do will have success. Now that is an amazing promise right there. Here's number 4. Study the scripture in order to be blessed. Another word would be happy. I just want to be happy, Teresa. Well, get in God's word. Get in God's word. It will make you happy. This one is really practical. Look at Psalm 1. How blessed, the psalmist says. This is the very first psalm. How happy is the man or the woman. She doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. She doesn't listen to the TV. She doesn't listen to the magazines. She doesn't walk in the path with sinners. She doesn't sit with scoffers. But look, her delight's going to be where? In the law of the Lord. And once again, this one is going to make that her meditation day and night. And if you'll do that, you're going to be like a tree that's planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in its season, leaves not withering, and in whatever that person does, they prosper. Wow, what a promise. Number 5, you're equipped to help others when you know the Bible. So write it this way. You need it in order to be equipped to help others. You have people in your circle every day, and they have problems. If you know God's word, you're going to be able to help them. You need to know some answers. And you need to share God's word. Now, here are some practical suggestions that I'm just going to give you really quickly in closing. Some practical suggestions for studying God's word. This is just very simple, but number 1, first of all, you've got to prepare your heart for the word of God. So before you ever study your Bible, you're going to put aside some things. Look at 1 Peter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, and then after you do that, like a newborn babe, long for the pure milk of the word so that you can grow. So as you come to your word to read and to pray, you prepare your heart. You purify your heart. Look at James 1. It says it this way, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. It's so important that, number 1, you set aside time every day to read the Bible. So write that down. Is that on your handout? Okay. And then, that was number 2, right? Then number 3, you've got to prepare your heart, then you've got to read the Bible, and then you've got to study it. More than just reading, you need to get into it. So let's see, what are some ways I can study my Bible? I've got to hurry. Topically, write that down first. You can buy a, probably get an app for a topical index and say, I need to study about forgiveness. Just look up that word and there's all these scriptures about forgiveness. Or I want to study about the prayers of the Bible or the prayers of Jesus or the prayers of Paul. You can put in any kind of topic, and a topical index will give you all of the scripture to look at. Then study your Bible biographically. Pick a man, David, Joseph, Elijah, Paul, and study that person out of the Bible. Also, add this, read good books. And then this, get some outside input. I mean, listen to good preachers, read reference books. Another thing, go to a concordance and learn how to do word studies. And when you do that, you'll be cross-referencing your Bible, and that so gives you such a rich meaning. And then next, read good commentaries. And then you need to find someone else that you can share your information with. I mean, tell your kids, tell your husband, tell your family, tell another Christian. Just share what you're learning. And then next, find a pattern that you can follow. Did I put that on there? I'm almost done. And lastly, submit yourself to good Bible teaching. Now, here's my commercial. Because this is why I think Sunday school is so important. Because if you're going to come in here, I promise you, I'm going to prepare God's Word to teach you. And being a Bible preaching church, I appreciate Brother Greg. He preaches God's Word. Now, we're out of time. I'm pleading with you this morning to grow. Equip yourself. Be useful to God. And God, getting in the Word of God is absolutely critical. And I'm going to ask you to make it a priority to be here in Sunday school. And I'm going to ask you to do your homework. Train your minds in God's Word. Be intentional. Learn all that you can learn. Make it a matter of priority. And the reason why, the benefits are too good for you to miss. Amen? Amen. Let's close with the Word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for this privilege of being together this morning and hearing your beautiful word. I hope that all our hearts are just crying together, oh, how I love your word. I pray, Father, that you will grow our class, equip us, restore us, refresh us, make us wise. Use us, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.